Tonight, I'd like to speak a few words, bring a little word of encouragement to us on the subject of sheep and the shepherd. Also, what you could call it, knowing Christ. There's a verse that I've been pondering in John 10 for the last number of months now, and we'll use that verse. So John chapter 10. I'll read verse 14, just the one verse. It says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. You know, we're very familiar with verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But this one here struck me. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. I found it interesting just as I was thinking about the verse that this animal, the sheep, also known as a lamb in its younger days, is a picture for the sinner, the Savior, and the saint. The Lord, I think he was, I'm sure he did it on purpose. He had to have, to use the same animal, different characteristics to give us those examples. So for the sinner, it's the sheep's tendency to go astray in Isaiah 53 and 6. For the Savior, it's the sheep's willingness to be sheared in silence and of a lamb to be led to the slaughter without resisting, from Isaiah 53 and 7. And in the subject for tonight, the saint, the sheep's dependence on the shepherd, knowledge of the shepherd, of his voice, its willingness to follow the shepherd, the protection of the shepherd, even to the giving of his life, and finally, security. I find it interesting that just before we get going here, there's only one likeness that I've noticed in the Bible to the sinner, and that is its tendency to go astray. It's lost. That's really all that matters. For someone who's lost, they've only got one need, and that is get to the Savior. For those of us who are saved, who are saints, well, we've got all these needs that he meets. So this verse, really, it talks about knowing us, knowing him, and him knowing us, and which, of course, speaks to a relationship between us, between the sheep, that's us, and the shepherd. And the shepherd considers us to be sheep, his sheep. And we should give some thought to this role that we have as sheep, and consider it and actively seek that role. And of course, we're not just sheep, but we're his sheep. So first of all, we have in the verse the good shepherd. We know from other verses in this chapter the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I mentioned that already. And that also in this chapter we learn that he's resurrected. So when a person gives their life for another person, that brings their life to a close. But for the Lord, it was something that he would accomplish. He would accomplish there at Jerusalem, and then after 3 days, resurrected, the power of resurrection. The second thing about the good shepherd is that he knows his sheep. His sheep know him. We'll talk more about that later. Of course, this is the essence of eternal life, John 17 and 3. So it's not just, because he's saved us, we should know a little bit about him or get to know him a little. No, it's the very core of everything that we've got is to know him. There's care. He has care for us. In the chapter, we learn about the hireling, the hired man who doesn't care for the sheep because, well, they're not his. He's just hired to keep them in line, keep them in a spot on the field or whatever. Along comes the wolf and he's gone. But the Lord cares. And we see that as well in his exhortation to Peter in John 21. He says to feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my lambs. And then the fourth thing about the shepherd is he feeds us. In Psalm 23, he leads us to green pastures and still waters. We'll talk more about that later. On to sheep. Excuse me. There are characteristics of sheep that we see in the scriptures. I'd like to go over some of them. The main ones that I saw. Well, the first we talked about that was a sheep that is lost, so it's a sheep that's not saved yet. When a sheep is lost, it's got nothing. That's one reason why it's a good picture for a sinner. And so the sheep is lost. They don't have any food. They don't have any water. They're not able to rest. And they're subject to any enemy who happens along. And in a matter of time, it'll die without those things. So there's just really nothing for a lost sheep. So a sheep has needs. I was thinking about a sheep's life, and for a minute it sounded kind of appealing, but not really. He drinks water, eats grass, and he rests. Sometimes it seems preferable to the stress we get in our lives, but I think most of us would be pretty bored very quickly, because we're not made for that kind of life. So in Psalm 23, where he leads me by the still waters, there's the drinking of the water, and then he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I was doing a little bit of research on sheep just to see if I could pick up anything on the internet before or while I was preparing the message. And one website says the sheep won't lie down and rest unless it's got nothing agitating it and is not hungry anymore. So if it's got fleas that's bothering it, or flies, or if there's stress between two different sheep in the flock, he just won't lie down and rest. So when it says here that in Psalm 23 that he makes me lie down in green pastures, if that statement was true, well, then it means everything that's bothering the sheep, everything that he needs at that moment has been given to him, and now he can rest. It's a beautiful, beautiful thought of the Lord. So following the shepherd protects it from all of its risks, provides it with all of its needs. And we're told in John 10 here that we follow the shepherd. Well, we can feed on Christ. So the sheep, the literal sheep, has the nice grass that the shepherd finds. We feed on Christ. In John 6 and 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He said we're to feed on him, to drink of him. And then in the water we have the picture of the Spirit, John 7 and 37. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. So we have Christ and we have the Spirit. Another one of the needs of the sheep is rest. We have Matthew 11 and 29. Take my yoke upon you, the Lord said, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Even that sentence to me sounds restful. Just have rest for your souls. And dependence on the shepherd. Not aggressive, not pushing our own way, but dependence. We know the shepherd. We mentioned this briefly earlier. Eternal life is defined by this. John 17 and 3, the Lord in his prayer to his Father as they're on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane and the cross, he says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is about knowing him. We know the shepherd's voice. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And then we follow the shepherd, and it says, and they follow me. And we spoke of that. So if we're following him, we're going to take the food offered by him. We're not going to go and try and find our own food. And of course, when you spiritualize the idea of food, things that of interest to us, if we're pursuing things of interest in order to satisfy, there's only one that will satisfy, and that's Christ. You know, I like numbers. I like puzzles that have to do with numbers. I'm not so good with words. Well, they're fun to work on, and I do them sometimes. But if I was looking there for satisfaction and to make me settled, man, that's not going to do it. Someone who's not saved and doesn't know the Lord and they like numbers, they might go into a career that involves numbers all the time, and they drive towards it, and they try and go learn more, and they try and go do better, and at the end of their life, they're going to be said, well, it was kind of fun, but it's empty. All these things of life, they're empty. We know we need to follow the shepherd. We need to take the food that he offers. We need to see the shepherd. The food that he offers to us is him. We need to see him, to look on him. That is a quotation from Daniel's message a few weeks ago. I've been looking at an article that Brother Richard McCammon wrote in the Truth and Tidings in February of 04. So he'll recognize the phrase, I think, so I have to make sure he knows I know it's from him. To contemplate the living word in the written word, and we're changed into his image as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. To contemplate Christ. Most of us will probably know how sheep are perceived in the world, or at least the image of sheep. The image of a sheep, a person who might be considered a sheep, is someone who follows another mindlessly, not thinking for themselves, and are prone to be led unwittingly to support others' causes. Of course, that's a negative image, and nobody wants to be a sheep. I was thinking about... where was I now here? A sheep is defenseless. It's helpless on its own. It's dependent on the shepherd for everything. In the sports world, have you ever heard of a team known as the such and such sheep? I don't think so. It just wouldn't do. In the corporate world where I worked for some years, it also was a very negative thing. If you're thought of as a sheep in the corporate world, it means that you're one who mindlessly follows and doesn't think for themselves and is not leadership material. Definitely not. A person who is likened to a sheep in the corporate world would be insulted. What's the difference between a sheep as perceived by the world and the sheep that we've been thinking about in the scriptures? The difference is the presence of a shepherd. In the world, they're looking at a sheep with no shepherd. They wouldn't phrase it that way. They don't think of it that way, but that's what they're doing. They're thinking of a sheep out there in the field, lost, got nothing, so it follows whatever. And who would want to be that kind of sheep? But we are a sheep, and we have a shepherd. That makes all the difference in the world. With our shepherd, who would want to be anything but a sheep? And then there's opposites to the sheep, and in fact, the enemies of the sheep, three of them that I found in Scripture. There's the wolf, the lion, and the bear. The wolf is in this chapter. The lion and the bear are mentioned in 1 Samuel 17, where David is describing to Saul how he looked after the sheep and how he had to defend them from the lion and the bear, showing to Saul that, yes, he can go fight Goliath because he has faced similar enemies in the past and won. These animals, the wolf, the lion, and the bear, they're aggressive. They go after things, and they're self-sufficient. They don't need anybody else. They just go and get what they need and take it. And they scatter, they destroy, they devour, they take away. These are some of the words I found in the Bible that refers to how these creatures operate. So, our verse, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. I picked out two portions about knowing Christ, and I'd like to read them. First one's in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Reading for four verses there. I have it printed out so I don't have to flip pages, but you're welcome to read along. Philippians 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, this is Paul writing, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Prior to these verses, Paul has listed some things that he had considered gain to him before he was saved. And he had done some remarkable achievements in the world. He has counted all these previous gains as loss for Christ. He adds, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. So we've been speaking about knowing Christ, knowledge of Christ, and here Paul adds this description, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, to the point of dying with him, which is a subject covered in Romans 6. He desires to know Christ. It is everything to him. He is prepared and has, in fact, given up everything. He had already walked away from it by the time he wrote this. It was all gone. He knows what he's talking about. He's not saying he's willing to give it all up, but hasn't seen a need to yet. He has given it all up. The next portion is in 2 Peter. Read the first 8 verses. The word knowledge is spread through these verses. Let's see, when about 5 or 6 times, maybe 7 times. So just look for them as we read. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And I'll just pause here for a minute. I'll make comments as we go along. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Many of the epistles start with that, you know, wishing us grace and peace. But he says, through the knowledge of God. Everything that we have comes through the knowledge of God. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Okay, so his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything that we need to live a successful Christian life has been given to us by his divine power. How has he done it? It says right here, through the knowledge of him. We cannot escape this knowing Christ. It is essential. Whereby, again, looking back to the word knowledge, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So knowledge is one of these list of characteristics of a believer. So we'll skip down to verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We could get started on this list of characteristics through the knowledge of God. And if these things are in us, if we actually have them, then they'll cause us to be, well, to flip the negatives around, we'll be fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter closes his epistle, chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So summarizing, this knowledge of God is, you know, we look at the list of characteristics and we might be inclined to think, okay, that one I'm not doing so bad on. Maybe that one I need to polish up a little bit. No, it's all got to do with through the knowledge of God. And it's the Spirit that does that work in us as he conforms us to the image of the Son, of God's Son. All right, back to our verse. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. I was pondering this. Why do we need this sheep and shepherd picture to illustrate it? Why doesn't he just say that we're his, and he knows us, and we know him? That would seem to accomplish the same objective, wouldn't it? Perhaps. And I don't really know why he did it, but one thought that came to mind is possibly why he did it, is that knowing him is not merely factual knowledge. So, for example, being able to rattle off a list of the characteristics of Christ, that'd be pretty good to be able to do that. I can't right now. But even if I could, to be able to do that, that's not what's in view here. And maybe this is one reason why the Lord uses this picture of the sheep-shepherd relationship. The sheep is totally dependent on the shepherd, thinking back over the things we've talked about. So It's not that I'm in a classroom and someone's giving me a list of things to learn. It's I'm spending time with the Savior. I'm looking on him. I'm gazing on him. I'm learning from him. That verse I mentioned in Matthew 11 and 29, just to pull it up again. Oh boy. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. When we are learning of him, one of the results is meekness. It's not something you learn in a classroom. We learn that by living and by contemplating Christ. I like to look at the example of David. We don't have any time to go look at it in any detail. In Psalm 23, David, he was a shepherd, and he saw in that relationship between him and his sheep a similarity to his relationship with the Lord. And so he gave us the psalm, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Touched on this briefly earlier, saints and sinners, we're alike in that we need a shepherd. We tell the sinners when we're preaching the gospel that they're like sheep. They're lost, they're hopeless, they're helpless. And we should, because it's true. And we think of that young man, we call him the rich young ruler. I'm not sure exactly where we get that phrase from, but that's what we call him. He comes to the Lord and he says, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord told him, to get rid of all this stuff and come follow him. And then he went away sad because he had many possessions. It looked to me as if he thought he was doing pretty good in life. He thought he was doing okay. And he thought, well, if I can add eternal life from the Lord to as a extra thing on top of all the good things I've done, well, I mean, that would just be amazing. But no. To come to the Lord for salvation, as we all know, because we've all been saved, we need to come to the place of knowing that we are totally lost, totally helpless. We can do nothing. And if we can look back to the day God saved us and remember that realization that we came to, because we need it today, because living the Christian life is exactly the same thing. I cannot do it. God, when he saved me, saved my soul. He did not give me the ability to live a Christian life. That's the subject of Romans 6, 7, and 8 and other places. So a sinner is like a lost sheep, a sheep without a shepherd. And you get the view of that in Matthew 9 and 36. A saint is like a found sheep, a sheep with a shepherd. If we don't stay near the shepherd, we're going to become like a lost sheep again. Of course, we won't be a lost sheep. We can never lose what God has given us. With the shepherd, we have relationship. We have one who cares for us and meets our need. But to have this, we must take our place as a sheep. The Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. That's in the context of fruit bearing. That fruit would be the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. We don't want to display the opposite characteristics, as we talked about before, the wolf, the lion, and the bear. We want to aspire to be more like sheep. Okay, just a couple minutes to finish, if I could encroach on your time. So just looking back at what we talked about in Philippians, Paul says that he counted all but loss. Everything he had, he counted loss to gain the knowledge of Christ. Peter tells us that everything that God has given us is through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How do I grow in the knowledge of Christ? Contemplate Christ in the scriptures. Not just analytical study. That's good too. In fact, it's necessary. Look on him. Gaze on his glory. In 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we spoke about. Just look back to Daniel's message. It needs time each day. It needs a lot of time. One test we can use for ourselves, and I say this carefully, I believe it to be true. If not, you can correct me. But when I have moments when my mind is idle, what comes to my mind just by itself, unbidden? I'm not saying what I decide to stick, put my mind to. That's a different thing. But what just comes to my mind? And of course, we know what sorts of things come to our mind. It's usually the things we've been thinking about, occupied with the last little while. If rarely or never thoughts of Christ come to my mind just because, I think I should get on my knees and ask God why. That's my thought, and that's what I have seen in my life. The verse I referred to, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He is the one changing us. We're gazing at him. We're contemplating Christ. Another thing that we can do, it really seems very powerful to me, and that is to surrender my will to him. And that was the subject of Derek's message a few weeks ago. As long as I have a will, I'm not going to get very far trying to follow the shepherd. He'll be going off one way, and it won't take me long to figure out that I want to go that way, and that won't work. And if we do these things, he will see to it that I am being conformed to the image of his son.